This is a Little Empire podcast. Visit us at littleempirepodcast.com and on Instagram at Little Empire Podcasts.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Ho,
jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle
all the way.
Oh, come, oh, ye faithful.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
I bet you didn't ask, you didn't think you were going to get a Christmas medley.
Yeah, but you
sign
did.
Up for this podcast.
Get out of a Christmas in the park.
It's a free gift for you.
Yeah. Welcome so much to the Male Gaze, the Christmas special with your hosts, Alf Mathewson
and Christ Parker, because we know what the true meaning of Christmas is.
You could have gone Christmas Parker.
No, the true meaning of Christmas is the birth of Christ.
You're absolutely right. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Do you know what I was thinking in bed this morning?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so we have a holiday that celebrates the birth of Christ.
Correct.
And a holiday that the death of Christ.
Yeah.
Imagine if Jesus was gay and he came out. Imagine that holiday.
That would be a good holiday.
Like, because you know, we live in a world where Christians would have been celebrating it right from the get-go. So, you know, we'd be living in a topsy-turvy world.
What do you reckon you would get? So on Christmas, you give presents to each other to celebrate his birthday. On Easter, you eat hot cross buns for his death.
Bun.
And then a chocolate egg for his rebirth.
Yeah. A little chocolate chicken or something.
No, you don't have a chocolate chicken.
No, like a little hollow chick.
No, you don't. No one has ever eaten that on Easter. What do you reckon you would eat or give to each other
when
to celebrate?
The tradition would be like a chocolate or like some kind of, like your closet would be filled with gifts or something.
A closet full of that's a lot of presents.
Well, you know what I mean? Like you, or maybe it's just like a new outfit hanging up in the closet.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh my god, I really wanted this for Christ's coming out day.
What happens is your family, you get together, you tour around the rooms, and then everyone goes into their closet, changes into their new outfit, comes out,
yeah,
and everyone claps them and says, Christ's coming out.
He wants the world to know.
He likes to have a blowjob.
So this is the Christmas edition of the Male Gaze, and we're just here to celebrate Christmas and make this festive holiday as gay as we can.
And we're going to start with the fact of the gay, the gayest fact available.
I'm going to start with mine because it's not a fact. It's more just a nice thing I found on the internet.
Okay.
Yours will be better. It's a better ending point. I'm insecure about mine, but it's a cool thing. Camp light bulb. I was just reading up about this on Huffington Post.
Mm.
You know, like American camp tradition?
Yes.
It's like quite a thing, eh? Like
summer,
over summer camp they all go, but this is a winter camp.
Ooh.
I think they also do summer camps as well, but it's like specific. It's in Santa Monica. good to know. And they've got a short video here.
Where is Santa Monica, Chris?
I don't know.
And what is popular in
world
Santa
famous?
Monica?
Well, enjoy visit. They also visit LA. So,
oh, okay, that's good.
Gonna,
I know where that is.
They're going to walk on the stars of, you know, see all the famous people on the Walk of Fame.
Good camp.
But it's specifically catered towards LGBTQIA kids ages like 14 to 18.
Whoa.
And what I like is that it's the camp goes from the 26th of December through to the 1st of January, which is often a time where you would spend that time with your family. However, for these kids whose family potentially might not accept them, I was thinking, or, you know, they can send them away on this, or maybe they've lost their parents or something. You know, they can send them away on this camp over that time. They're surrounded by sort of like fun and, you know, friends and like-minded individuals, and they can sort of not feel so alone on that time of year. And they give out like 40% of its participants attend on scholarships.
Oh wow!
Doesn't that just warm your heart?
That's beautiful.
So I was just like reading up about that and just felt really. You feel really nice knowing that there are, like, networks and stuff for people who that time of year is like actually quite tricky and quite difficult.
Must be so nice. You know, how on a normal New Year's trip, you might be like the one homo with your all your straight friends, but these guys are all together celebrating the New Year.
When I go home for Christmas, I'm certainly the only gay person in what feels like my suburb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel exactly the same.
I feel like I'm going to bring a bit of Auckland flair to this Christmas Christchurch.
I often go to church. I'm like, I'll go to the morning church service on Christmas because it's tradition. And then I've never feel gayer than when I'm at church.
Isn't it interesting? Yeah, it's almost like the complete stripping away of everything makes you yourself feel like sort of louder and prouder.
Yeah. Do you want to hear? So my effect of the gay, I just was wondering about this in terms of loud and proud. It's about Elton John.
Oh.
I just thought we could delve into Elton John's process of coming out. Do you know anything about
God,
this?
I would love to know.
So basically it was kind of like an open secret really in the rock and roll community.
As is the way with like most of these celebrities that around this time as well. It was this, what is this kind of open, it's like hard because it's kind of like you're not really just talking about it, which is like twice the problem, you know?
Exactly. And Elton has said like, he was like, oh, I didn't think I really needed to tell anyone because like everyone kind of knew. But obviously it's like once you give a name to it, there's so much more awareness about it. Anyway, basically a Rolling Stone, Elton John was not doing any interviews while he was doing a run of shows at Madison Square Garden. But Rolling Stone swooped in with their writer Cliff Jar. Cliff Jar was an openly gay writer who had an inkling that Elton might be a little bit gay.
Oh, I wonder what set him off on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it was. But Elton had never talked openly about it. So Cliff Jar wanted to have a gotcha moment. So they planned this kind of like intimate interview where they said to Elton that they would take the tape recorder out of the room if they needed to. They had a code word for the photographer to leave if he wanted him to leave. And then Elton John was like, oh, didn't need any of that. He just talked about it.
Amazing.
This is in 1976, by the way. He said, I crave to be loved. That's the part of my life I want to have come together in the next 2 or 3 years. And that's partly why I'm quitting going on the road. My life in the last 6 years has been a Disney film. And now I have to have a person in my life. He then said, I'd rather fall in love with a woman eventually because I think a woman probably lasts much longer than a man, but I really don't know. I haven't met anybody that I want to settle down with of either sex. But he said, there's nothing wrong with going to bed with someone of your own sex. I think everybody's bisexual to a certain degree. I don't think it's just me. So he came out as bisexual in this interview. A few years after that, he married a German woman. Her name was Renate Blauel, which I've pronounced exactly correct. They were married for 4 years, but then the same year that they broke up, he then, in another interview with the Rolling Stone, came out in 1988, the year of my birth.
Oh, wow. Maybe that should be the holiday rather than when Christ, like, maybe came out. It's when Elton John came out.
Yeah, I would love if we celebrated when Elton John came out.
Internationally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be
huge holiday. And everyone wears, like, star glasses.
Yes!
And you all have to sit around with your family and sing the songs around the piano.
Oh, that would be gorgeous, because his songs are so great to sing.
What's your favourite Elton John song?
I'm Still Standing.
Oh, wow, that's a goodie.
Yeah, when I broke my foot doing a dance show, I played it every night and like would kind of cry to myself and be like, you can get through this.
Oh, that's really beautiful.
But it was like a good metaphor, you know, I'm still standing. Well, not even a metaphor, just like a literal piece of advice that I needed.
Yeah. I like Benny and the Jets.
Yeah, such a good song. And makes me want to sing.
Sorry, a ghost just arrived into the podcasting booth. The ghost of straight Elton John from 1976.
He's like, get out of here. It's not a space for you.
Yeah. Shout out to Elton John and thank you for your continued
support.
Subscription to our podcast.
Okay, Eli, it's Merry Christmas to you and a Merry Christmas to me.
Yes.
Let's talk about Christmas, eh? We were talking about this morning. One thing you were kind of bringing up, which I thought was quite interesting, were presents that you get from relatives that you're like, you're giving me this because you think this is what a gay man wants for Christmas.
Completely.
I reckon, you know, if it's like a graph of like, it slowly curves up when you come out.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah,
like, you already start being a little like effeminate child. Like, I was already on the graph.
Yeah.
And then as I got older and came closer to coming out, the curve went up. And then it just spiked as soon as I came up, and suddenly, like, it was, the gifts were fruity.
I reckon my family should have known. Age 8, they got me Steps, 5, 6, 7, 8, the album.
I had that album.
And Bewitched, the album with Sailor B. And I played them constantly.
We got a CD and DVD store voucher, a shared gift one year, $20.
Oh, nice.
And we had a big argument as to what album we should buy, and I went for Steps.
And we
all could enjoy it, the whole family, so it was really good.
Yeah, I'm also I'm pretty sure one year I got the maybe I got this for my sister, but then I just used it for myself, was the Viva Forever CD single of the Spice Girls, which was one of the first ones where the video was attached. And that video, if you remember, was where they're all like tin fairies.
Yes.
And then Ginger flies away at the end.
And the Rubik's
symbolically.
Cube.
The Rubik's Cube, yeah, yeah.
Haunting video. It gave me nightmares.
Beautiful.
I used to watch it on like the Coca-Cola, what was the Coke?
RTR. With Erica Takis.
Yeah, and that video was always kind of playing, and I was always like, it was sort of Saturday morning, you'd be watching it and it kind of just got like shivers down your spine.
It does. Talking about it right now gives me goosebumps.
Oh God, what were we just talking about?
Oh, Christmas gifts.
No, I was off the thread that you got, and I just had the perfect thing to say.
Steps.
Damn it, it's gone. I know.
Oh, okay.
So my mum has this Christmas tradition where she gives us Christmas decorations on Christmas Day, like as a present, which is so weird because I'm like, oh, can't wait till next year to use this. And even then, I'm not going to be around while you're decorating the tree.
Yeah.
And like the year that I came out, the one that I got was like, I don't think it was like supposed to coincide with it, but it just happened to be a weird coincidence.
Yeah,
was a Wizard of Oz like Christmas decoration of them, all of them. It's a beautifully made, Hallmark made them. They made a line of Christmas decorations. Walking up to the Emerald City, and like you can press the buttons and they sing. And I got it, and I was like, oh, I mean, deep down, I'm like, oh, I love this. This is
yeah,
so
this
amazing.
Is the best thing ever.
This is so beautiful and detailed. And then the other part of me is like, I'm such a cliche. I can't believe I'm fizzing over this Wizard of Oz Christmas decoration.
I'm fizzing about it.
Same year my sister got Twilight. She got Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart like kind of in an embrace.
As a Christmas decoration?
Yeah.
Where do you get these from?
Hallmark did a line of them. They were in like Paper Plus that year, like in Miraval. And Mum was just like lapping them up, like buying them all. Like, but now we've got like, it's such a good time stamp on our tree. I reckon Christmas tree decorations should be more like of the time.
We have there must have been just a phase where we went to McDonald's a lot, and it was when they were doing the mini Cabbage Patch dolls.
Yeah.
So we had like Ice Princess, just two. There was like an Ice Princess one, and there was a Rag Doll one. And
awesome.
We made them ourselves. We tied wool around their neck like a noose and hung them.
A whole
round.
Bunch of Cabbage Tree kids killing themselves on the tree.
Yeah. But just like multiples of the same. We didn't get the whole set. We got two of the five, but a lot of those. Because you know when you're, I don't know. Oh, you're also from a big family.
Huge family.
Huge family. And so when you go to McDonald's.
Big in numbers and big personalities.
Yes. And big brains. When you go to McDonald's, but they used to have, when they had a series of toys, they'd bring them out like one at a time. So if you all
got
a Happy Meal,
yeah,
you all got the same toy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But I think they had them all there. Because I remember I'd be like, I can see the other ones, but they'd give you the one that you already had because it was that week's release.
Mm.
That was average, eh? But also kind of cool. But also like, let's not encourage people to go to McDonald's every week to get their toy sets.
My sister got me. So I think I came out to my family mostly like right before Christmas. Like they didn't have time to change the presents to gay. But
like,
we don't have time.
Can we like paint them or cover them in glitter? We need a quick edit.
Everything I've got like dipped half in glitter.
Socks and Lynx deodorant kit sets and stuff. I get so many body gel sets for Christmas.
Oh.
That's the only bit where I'm like, you don't know I'm gay yet or something.
Yeah.
Oh, but one year I got a set of like hand lotions. I was like, you know I'm gay. But like, what's all this creams and stuff? It's so like, but it's like, oh, well, we don't know what to get Chris. And they get me like a shower gel kit set.
That stuff's perfect though. Like, that's what I want. I want
really?
Socks. I want bath bombs this year, family, if you're listening, because we've got a bath in my new house and I haven't used it yet and I can't. Bloody white, and I want cinder candles.
I've got a bath bomb waiting at home for me.
Oof.
I love a good bath bomb.
Nice. My sister got me anyway. My first gay Christmas, she got me a mug. It was like a quite big mug. And when it was normal, it was just a whole bunch of closet doors. And then when you poured hot water on it, the closet doors faded away. And it was gay figures from history coming out of the closet.
An amazing mug. That's kind of genius, though. Like,
yeah.
That's us being like, that's bang on the money in terms of like, you're gay this year, which you're is kind of funny. Year.
This is fun.
Versus ones that are like, ooh, we got you this like walking cane and cape. You know what I'm saying? They're like, you're a bit of a dandy, aren't you? I'm always getting like bow tie memorabilia or stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm always getting like fruity shirts from my mum as well, like kind of like. Because I mean, I wear a bit of colour, but I'm never wearing like big flowers, you know.
No.
But I'm always getting like a sort of fun shirt.
Oof.
I'm fun shirt Chris, you know.
Yeah.
But this year, I think everyone's like, I think Chris just wants skincare, which I'm like,
oh, that's
great. This is a dream come
true.
Yeah,
that's what I want. Family, if you're listening, I want like a little eye roller.
I love this term, my first gay Christmas. I'm having my first. I'm bringing my boyfriend to my family Christmas this year.
Yeah, that's
my
exciting.
First kind of like. Serious gay Christmas.
Wow.
And he's a part of the kind of Christmas swapping thing. Bringing partners to Christmas, family Christmas, is such a big ordeal. I don't really know how I'm going to deal with this, but sort of slowly, and I'll breathe through it, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's because it's such a like adult thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Do you have any weird Christmas traditions in your family?
Recently, one of my sisters lives in London, and this is like... right now, speaking about it, I'm experiencing an intense amount of dread. We Skype my sister and her boyfriend in London and have one of those groups Skype calls where like 10 of us are in the same room talking to them, and it's a true nightmare. And then my dad sets up his camera on a tripod on an automatic timer. We all stand around the TV and we get a family photo with them Skype through on TV. It is cute, but also
technology is a nightmare.
Yeah.
We've got a very weird Christmas tradition in our family. So when I was 6, my granddad passed away. He was an old man. And we would visit the grave. We visited the grave on Christmas Day.
Whoa.
And the whole family would drive. And we've been doing that every year since. And he died in 1996. So like almost a bit too long we've been doing that.
Yeah.
And what happens is we walk to the grave with my grandma. We all stand around in a circle holding hands. All like, there's like 15 of us, because it's my extended family as well. And we sing, "We wish you a Merry Christmas" to the grave. And we talk to the grave as if it's him. So we're like, "Hi, aww, Billy." And we always go, "Oh, you're a bit hairy on your chest this year," which is like the grass
is
on the so
that's cute.
We're all.
Would you say if the grass was well groomed, would you be like, "Oh,
we've been manscaping"?
I love it, Granddad.
It's just weird because we're all too kind of. It was cute when we were kids, but now none of us are under the age of 19.
Yeah,
so we're all too old for it. No, 20. My sister's 20. So we're all. So last year though, oh my God, it was so weird. My grandma's getting on a bit now. She can't really, like, she doesn't have the same mobility she used to have. She's 90, bless her.
Oh, bless
and
her.
We were walking, to the grave, to Billy's grave, and she was taking a bit of time getting over the grass and stuff. And she's like, Mum was like, "I don't think Hanty's going to be able to get to Billy's grave because it's just too far away and she just can't walk." So Mum was like, "Okay, look, I'll tell you what, we're all just going to get around this person's grave." So we got around a stranger's grave. And Mum's like, "We just pretend it's Billy. It doesn't matter." And so we all held hands around this random John's grave. And we sung him, "We wish you a Merry Christmas," while looking into the distance to our actual grandfather's grave, which was like another sort of 5 meters to the left.
Oh my goodness.
And we're like, "Sorry, it's just too far this year." And then we just talked to this other man's grave. I was like, "We've got to stop this tradition immediately."
Imagine if Bill's family came up and found 15 people they don't know.
Holding hands in a circle, swinging their arms, singing at him.
Oh, why is your grandma called Hanty, by the way?
Well, you know, you've got kind of cute names for grandparents and stuff, but her last name's Hanton, and I think it just built off that, Hanty.
So my mum's name is Sharon, and she shortens it to Ronnie now. So
yes.
She like turned like 55, I think, and she was like, I'm making a change. And the change is my new name is Ronnie.
Oh, this is so good to know, because I always thought Ronnie was a nickname, but it's her name now.
Well, it's not her legal name.
No, but that's what she wants to be addressed by.
So she picked it. It's Sharon, so it's like Ronnie.
Ronnie.
I was just trying to instigate calling her Shazza, but she hated that.
What about Shazron?
Shazron. Yeah, I'll try that this Christmas. She wanted, though, so we grandkids now, and she was like, what should I be called as a grandma? Because we have an Oma and Opa, because we're Dutch. So she was choosing between Oma. But what she put forward, which is really beautiful, she wanted to be called Gronny, like Grandma Ronnie. And then my sister was like, no, because she didn't want... her son to go to school and talk about his granny and have the other kids be like, what the hell are you talking about?
My mum's called Gay.
Yeah.
And we were like, I remember we were having a discussion about like what she was going to be called when she was a grandma.
Yeah.
And we were settling on Granny Gay.
Oh,
which I think is quite cute.
That's old so Granny cute. Gay. Granny Gay. Granny Gay also sounds like a great like drag act.
Yeah. And please welcome to the stage Granny Gay.
The weather outside is frightful.
What's your favourite Christmas carol?
Huge question. I love O Holy Night.
Yeah, it's my favourite. Let's talk about it for a second.
Okay. It's because weird because it's such a religious song.
Such a religious song. I also feel like when people sing it, they sing it way too dramatically.
They go hard out.
They're singing it if it's like a song about war or something.
Yeah.
Especially when the lyric Fall on Your Knees hits.
Fall
it's like,
on your knees.
I've seen renditions of that where it sounds like the person is like grieving a lover.
Yeah.
They're like, they're almost crying. And I'm like, calm down, mate.
I don't think
it's the most serious Christmas carol.
Yeah, and no, I don't think people have real connection to the lyric either that they're singing with Fall on Your Knees. It's, oh, that's,
Fall on Your Knees. Yeah, it's so
sick. On your knees. It's just talking about praying, right? That's what it's about.
It's just like squat.
Yeah, and the
squat down.
But it's quite a like melodically emotional sound, isn't
that, it really like, makes you want to weep.
Yeah.
But it's not really about weeping.
I also love Santa Baby. Is that a carol? No, it's
Santa
just a pop song.
Baby. Yeah. That's like in the 50s, when they had like a big push for like Christmas pop songs.
Sexy Christmas songs. You know what I do not like? The Pogues, Christmas in New York, Fairy Tale of New York.
Oh.
Do you know the one?
What is that?
It's the one, I mean, look, I'm going to talk about one specific thing. It's the two Irish people, and they sing, there's one lyric which, brace yourselves to be momentarily offended by a bad word, but she goes, it's like two couples singing to each other on Christmas Day, and there's one where she goes, you scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot, happy Christmas, you ass, da 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 da. Do you know the song?
What?
Yeah, I know. So it's what, and I remember when I heard it for the first time at 13, I was like, that is a real Christmas. I was like, that is what Christmas is really like. But now it's just a song that I have to listen to every this time of year that's got the word
faggot in it. You can say that word in here, especially in this space.
Faggot.
Oh, it's a hard word to hear.
I hate saying
it. What the hell?
Isn't it crazy?
They need to fix that. They need to change that word.
I've been trying to come up with different options with my flatmate Alice Sneddon, may know from Bonus of the Heart.
Everyone's got a podcast nowadays.
Yeah, my whole flat's like, oh, sorry, I'm going to go make another podcast. But you meant to be on dinner.
I've got an idea for a podcast. We cook our dinner and each week a new guest.
Her option for it is, and imagine her voice doing this, you scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy maggot.
Just say the same word twice. I like that.
Yeah, I like that as well.
What other words rhyme with faggot?
Here's my one.
Yeah.
You scumbag, you maggot, you greasy chip packet.
Oh, yeah.
The greasy chip packet, like the inside of an empty chip bag.
You scumbag, you maggot. You want it, you can't have it.
Happy Christmas, yeah, faggot. Anyway, that's the tense. I mean, if anyone else is, if you have any other options for lyrics for that song, please tweet them at the Male Gaze.
Yeah.
And we'll follow it on, we'll pass it on to the Pogues, who we're super close friends with.
I can't believe there's a Christmas carol that I didn't realize there was a Christmas carol with a gay slur in it.
Yeah.
That's exactly why we did this podcast today.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, oh, there's not much sort of linking between like queer, kind of queer topics and Christmas.
Yeah, but there is.
And it's so clean, isn't it? It's so hetero. Santa's so straight.
Are there any gay Christmas movies? Even Love Actually doesn't have a gay storyline in it. What the hell?
Because I did the live reading of that. Like, we read the script to an audience, and we kind of, it was kind of interesting because you just kind of got to read the script versus get swooped up in the performances of Keira Knightley in the movie. And
she looks beautiful in that film. I will say that right now.
I think she wears a bad hat in one scene.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's always wearing a kind of cat.
And she comes in and she's like, I brought banoffee pie. Sorry, I've got terrible taste in pie. I'm like, everyone loves banoffee pie.
And then she looks at the video of herself and she goes, oh, I look quite pretty. And that's terrible. Anyway, yeah, the storyline. Oh, that storyline, Keira Knightley's storyline. I reckon, oh my God, my jaw almost dislocated. That's all right.
So passionate about this storyline.
Yes. Oh my God, this storyline. I reckon the one, so the creepy guy who films Keira Knightley at her wedding because he's in love with Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
He's been giving her the cold shoulder because he can't deal with his feelings. I reckon if that was made today, he'd be in love with the groom.
The groom.
100%. But then also, it's a shame that storyline wouldn't have to be so pervy. Like, yeah. I've been filming you from a distance, even though it's kind of like, oh, I love you, like, you straight man. I mean, they should have just had a beautiful gay storyline.
They should have. And they hint towards that being a, like, the first scene. Doesn't he meet someone at the wedding party who's like, oh, you're in love with the husband?
Yes.
And then it's like a reveal that he's... But there is also a deleted scene. I think there's...
Really?
There's like an older woman who is... She works in the parliamentary office, I think. Maybe she's like the governor general or something.
Oh, yeah, where Hugh Grant is.
Where Hugh Grant is and her wife is passing away or something. It's like one small scene.
They're like, cut it. Too long. Like, no, slows
too
it down.
Long, too gay, too old.
That's sad.
I know. Oh, yeah.
There should be a gay Christmas movie.
Yeah, there absolutely should
be. About a gay elf or something, right? Elf Mathewson. Yeah. Alf I Mathewson. What did you call yourself?
I call myself Alf Mathewson because it's just, you just swap out an I for an F and that's my new name.
It really changes the sound because it adds, like, it just turns it to one syllable.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, all the power one letter can do. What's your favourite Christmas movie just to end this podcast on, mate?
My favourite Christmas movie is, and it's quite a gay one, but also quite a weird one, is Tim Burton's Batman Returns. Did you even know that this is a Christmas movie?
I didn't know.
Have you even seen it?
Which one is it? I've seen it all of the Batman films, I think.
It's the one with Danny DeVito as the Penguin and Michelle Pfeiffer, God bless her, as Catwoman.
Yeah.
So it's, it opens with them trying to light the Christmas tree. And then the Penguins, like hooligans, come out and abuse the streets. And then there's like lots of beautiful Christmas stuff in there. And I just, it's such a camp movie. It's ridiculous. It's like the campest Batman movie ever. None of the story makes any sense, but Michelle Pfeiffer is
brilliant,
inspirational in that film.
What they should just do with these Christmas movies is rather than just like, it doesn't, I guess what we really want from it is to see a little bit of ourselves in these films.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be about like a struggling, you know, like homosexual who's been cast away from his family at Christmas. That would be a beautiful film.
Yeah.
But like, even just like if the family itself was like a same-sex couple,
yeah,
that would be dope. Like, that's all we're asking for next Christmas.
That's all we want, please.
My favorite Christmas movie is The Miracle on 34th Street. I started watching it last night.
Oh.
It's got the girl from Matilda in it. What's her name again?
Mara Wilson.
Mara Wilson.
Who came out as bisexual this year.
Yay! Congrats, Mara! Yeah. And she talks, like, she's got such a specific voice. Like, she's so, her consonants are so sharp.
Oh my gosh,
sharp.
I remember this movie.
Yes, and it's got Richard Attenborough in it.
Yeah.
As Santa Claus. And, oh, what's her name? She plays Wilma in the Flintstones movie.
Oh, who is that? Not Bernadette Peters.
My other favourite redhead actress. Oh, well, her. You have to Google it. You'll have to Google it, fans. But
does she have a wand in this movie? Does Mara Wilson get a wand, or does she just start making magic happen?
That's Matilda when she starts making magic happen. Okay. But she doesn't believe in Santa Claus. She's like a depressed kid. She's like 8 years old and like super like bogged down by consumerism and stuff because her mum works at like Kohl's, this like fancy mall. Mm-hmm. But then they meet Santa Claus and he's brilliant. And it just is a great Christmas movie. But it plays on, skates on thin ice because it's like, oh, we don't believe in Santa right from the get-go. It's like sort of flirting with that idea that Santa don't exist.
Yeah.
And then he does exist. Because he's got reindeer. Oh. But he also works at a mall. I worked as a mall Santa once.
I know, yeah. Do you have any great stories for that? That's a good...
I was at drama school and it was my like summer holiday job.
Yeah.
Good. You only worked 3 hours.
That's good. That's really
3 hour
really
shift. I did do a 6 hour shift in Porirua once.
Did you do it at Merivale Mall? Because I remember the Merivale Mall guy didn't.
No, it's so bleak. You don't get a chair at Merivale Mall.
You just walk around.
Merivale Mall, for listeners who don't know, is in Christchurch, which is Eli and I's hometown. It's like the fancy area of Christchurch.
Yeah,
and it's the smallest mall. It's just a mall.
I used to work in the CD store there.
Yeah,
and I remember watching the Santa Claus walk past.
In and out. He just walk around the mall for 3 hours, but you can lap it in 10 minutes.
You can lap quicker than 10 minutes.
Yeah,
four, I reckon.
4 minutes.
Because the top floor is not even shops, is it? Isn't it like a?
Nah, it's just like a.
It's like lawyers and stuff.
Dentist or something.
Yeah,
but yet. Just kind of buzzy job. Like one woman came up to me asking for her son wanted a pink whistle.
Yeah.
For Christmas. And she's like, I can't find one. I've looked all around the mall. You wouldn't happen to know where I'd get one from. And she's like, looking at my Santa sack.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to be able to pull a whistle out of here. All I've got is fruit bursts. Sorry, lady.
Oh.
And one woman who came up to me who still believed in Santa Claus. She was a little bit too old to be believing in Santa Claus, but I think she was like IHC or something. There was like, but her mother just like passed away. It was such, oh my God, this is the saddest story to end the podcast on.
I'll talk for a little bit after this.
Okay, great. Her mother had just passed away. So she was like, she was saying this was her first Christmas without her mother and that she was like nervous that Santa wouldn't find the place. And I was like, I presumed her mother would have done. Oh my God, spoiler alert for any Santa believers in our podcast. But I believe that her mum was playing Santa Claus for her.
WTF.
And she wrote me a letter, and all she wanted for Christmas was a cell phone charger because she had an old phone that they weren't remaking cell phone chargers of, and she had lost it, and her phone was running out of battery. It was the saddest thing I've ever had to deal with. Oh no, it's not, not the saddest thing, but it was pretty devastating.
That's. I hope she got her cell phone charger.
I know. Someone was like, "You should have like." Got her the cell phone charger, and I was like, oh my God, that would have been such a good idea. And I didn't know. I mean, that's.
How would you find her?
In the letter, probably.
Oh, yeah. You definitely could have saved Christmas.
Oh, damn it. I'm a bad person.
I used to play an elf a lot. I used to do these Christmas corporate jobs where.
Every actor has a sad Christmas corporate job.
Yeah. I've done multiple elves. The most recent one and the last time I ever did any of this type of work was Santa's Batch, which is actually very cool. It's in Silo Park if you're in Auckland and wanted to check it out. I think it's still going right now. And you go through a little journey, and I used to take. Kids on a sleigh ride, but the worst elf thing that I used to do was to dress up as an elf and then go with like a bad Santa, like a drunk Santa Claus, and we'd go to people's Christmas parties, and he would like hit on all the women, and I'd be like, oh no. And one time one of the people at the parties was like pointed at me and said, he's a faggot elf. And that's why
you lousy you baggot, you cheap lolling packet.
Could you repeat the words you just said?
You lousy, you maggot, you cheap bucket. Spagget, shaggot.
Oh yeah, you cheap, you scumbag, you maggot. If you were hot, I'd shaggot.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You lousy, you maggot. What? I forgot the lyrics, I'm bad.
You scumbag, you maggot.
You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap lousy braggot. Braggot!
What's a braggart?
Someone who brags. Don't be such a braggart.
There you have it. The perfect replacement.
There you have it, you braggarts.
Offensive lyrics to
Merry Christmas, faggots.
Yeah. From the bottom of our hearts, can we just say, Merry Christmas, you faggots.
I'm sorry, Mom. not a face.
Thanks again to our sponsors at bigpipe.co.nz.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you're thirsty for another, why not try the worst idea of all time?
Ow! This movie's still fine.
It still surprises me, like, you know, walking around meeting new people and you explain what the podcast concept is here at the festival and people going like, do you really watch it each time? And yeah. Even people who have followed through with listening to it. We fucking do, guys. We watch it every single
it's
time.
It's not an intelligent podcast, but it is a podcast loaded with integrity. So,
not every episode is good,
but every episode is real.
It is authentic.
Classic Maximum Joseph.
You forget that films are supposed to have a point.